You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week we continue our journey through John's Gospel as we look at John 10, 1 through 21, as Brother Keith opens up for us how Jesus is our good shepherd.
Amen. The Lord's my shepherd. You can't really see this close, but you ought to just see that face. Gail Hooks gave me this. See that face? We were in a Bible study one time, and I think she gave everyone in the group a sheet to remind us who we are. And so this sits on my shelf to remind me, and this week I had it sitting on my desk looking at me. And it's quite a reminder of what we're all about, sheep and a shepherd. And as you can tell, that's what we're going to be talking about today in our passage. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to recognize people you know by their voice? Just hearing their voice, we recognize them, hearing them speak. And if we just hear that, we can identify who they are. Liam was busy playing in preschool one day this week, and I went down, I was talking to Ellen at the door, and he was over in the corner behind a shelf playing with some toys early in the morning, and he heard me speak to Ellen, and his head popped up, and he looked around because he heard Pop, and he got up and he ran around. Just by hearing my voice, he knew I was there. Even animals do the same. They recognize their human's voice, especially our cats and dogs. They can hear and they respond. I can remember my grandfather calling the cows, and he would stand there, "What? You, you." And the cows from all the way in the back of the pasture would come running when they heard that call. And I guess each one has a unique call, how they call the cows. Well, as children, we learned that they would come when we called too. So we would call, and they would come running. But actually, we found out that if you just beat the feed buckets together, they would come. And you didn't even have to do that. Just drive the truck up to the fence, and they would come. So cows aren't particular about who they respond to. When it comes to eating time, they will come. But sheep, on the other hand, are evidently a little more particular about who they respond to. And that's the mental picture that we will see in today's passage in John 10, 1 through 21. The image of God as shepherd and his people as sheep runs all the way through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. In fact, one of the most well-known chapters, maybe the most well-known chapter in all the Bible, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." Why do you suppose that is the most familiar chapter in all the Bible? Well, it's because it talks about something that everyone longs for, that peace and that soul rest. We all yearn for that. Well, the passage of John 10, 1 through 21 tells us how to find that soul rest that we all desperately need. Verses 1 through 21, they are a continuation of the conversation that followed Jesus healing the man born blind. I said last week that that miracle of giving the man sight was a sign that verified Jesus' own claim that he was the light of the world. Okay? He makes the claim, "I am the light of the world," and then he gives the man sight, something he had never had. And that miracle symbolized his ability to deal with our spiritual blindness, not only the ability to deal with it, but the desire to deal with it. He wants to do that. He wants to give us spiritual sight. Well, chapter 9 ends with Jesus talking about the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees. And so this first section of chapter 10 is also aimed at the Pharisees, as well as the truth about himself. He gives us a parable of sorts in verses 1 through 5, and John called it a figure of speech. And Jesus gave it to reveal the truth about who the Pharisees were, and as I said, to reveal the truth about himself. Jesus begins by talking about something that would have been very familiar to his original hearers, not so much to us, but to those who were hearing him, it would have been a very common sight. The first mental image would have been a sight in a village or a town. The sheep would be brought in from the pasture and kept in a sheepfold or a pen for the night. And several flocks would come together. They would put them all into the sheepfold. And then the next morning, the shepherd would come, and the watchman who was watching over the sheepfold at night would give the shepherd permission to call his sheep out. And so the shepherd would go to the gate, he would call his sheep, and then he would turn and walk off, and the sheep would follow him out to pasture. They knew his voice, and they responded to it, and they would go out to pasture. Now, as I was studying this, I saw a video of place where they keep sheep today, somewhere over in the Middle East. And evidently it was a tour group. And the people on the tour would come up to the fence and they would be encouraged to call the sheep. Somebody would call. And you could see the sheep off in the distance grazing. And somebody would call for them. They didn't stop. Somebody else was encouraged to do the same thing. Call the sheep up. But the sheep, they didn't stop. They just kept grazing. And three or four did that. And then the shepherd stepped up and said something. And then all of a sudden, the sheep heads popped up and looked in the direction of the voice, and they came running because it was their shepherd. They recognized his voice, and they came. They responded to him. The Pharisees thought that they were shepherds of God's people. But Jesus was saying that they were actually thieves and robbers because they were leading people away from God. They weren't leading people to God. So they were thieves and robbers leading people away from God. And so they didn't get it. They didn't get what Jesus was talking about. So he said it more directly. And what he said in these next verses is the main point of the passage. In verses 7 through 18, Jesus tells us who he is. And he tells us what he does, who he is and what he does. First of all, who is Jesus? Well, he tells us, first thing he says, I am the gate. I am the doorway. I am the gate. Verse 7 says that Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep. Now, the first mental image was a sheep pen in a town or village. But this second mental image would have been a common scene out in the pastures during the warmer months, which would have been like in our Christmas story. There were shepherds abiding in the fields by night. It was the warm months, so they were out in the fields. And that's what this image would be. Instead of leading the sheep into town, the shepherds would keep his sheep in the fields overnight. They would spend the night there. And so an area of the pasture would be fenced in with brush or stones and maybe a hillside to serve as a wall. But they would make this makeshift pen out in the open pasture. And the shepherd, he would lie down in the entryway, in the opening in that fence, making himself a human gate. So the sheep couldn't come in, they couldn't go out unless they came through him. And when Jesus said here that he will come in and go out, he's using a Jewish phrase that meant a time of peace and security. So not only is Jesus claiming that he is the way to have peace and rest in your life, but he's also claiming that he is the way to salvation. And unlike the thieves and robbers who steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus gives life. And he gives an abundance of life. And it's not an abundance of things in this life, but it's an abundance of life itself. You'll have more life, more of it. And so the first claim of Jesus through this sheep and shepherd metaphor is that he is the gate through which everyone must enter. Everyone must enter to be saved and to find peace with God. But then he goes on and he makes a second claim in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Ezekiel 34 prophesied about bad shepherds of Israel, those that were leading people away. And through Ezekiel, God said, I myself will come and shepherd my people. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to be our good shepherd. And good here means more than just ability. Like we might say, he's a good musician, or he's a good baseball player, or he's a good worker. Good here means his intrinsic character, his innate goodness. And the innate goodness of God is the goodness of Jesus. And because of his goodness, Jesus actually cares for the sheep. He actually cares for God's flock. And that's the basis of the relationship. And Jesus contrasts the results of his shepherding with the shepherding of the Pharisees. And whereas he has love and concern for God's people, the Pharisees mostly have love and concern for themselves. And whereas he gives abundant life, the Pharisees make life miserable. They even take life away. Remember that this whole conversation is the response of the Pharisees, what they did to the man who was healed of his blindness. What did they do? They excommunicated him. They threw him out. But when they threw him out, Jesus took him in. That's what Jesus does. He takes us in, and you and I are much, much better off when Jesus accepts us instead of when worldly people accept us. Don't worry about whether or not people are going to accept you because of your faith in Jesus. You're better off when Jesus accepts you. So Jesus tells us who he is. He is the gate to God's kingdom. He is the good shepherd for God's people. But then he uses the sheep shepherd metaphor to tell us what he does. What Jesus does. Well, he knows his sheep. It's a relationship. He calls his sheep by name. He knows them in a personal way. When you think of God, do you think of a cold, distant judge? Or do you think personal, based on relationship? Jesus came into this world in order to be with you, to be with us. That's why he came. And he knows your name. He knows you. He cares for you. A shepherd would stay with a flock for years because in this area, the sheep were raised for their wool, not to be slaughtered. So a shepherd would stay with the flock for years, and he would name his sheep based on the individual characteristics and personalities of a sheep because he knew them. See, the Christian life is about a growing relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's a relationship. So he knows his sheep. Well, he also guides his sheep. He calls his people out of the multitude of the people who want nothing to do with Jesus. He calls them out. Remember in the first verses, the shepherd went to the sheepfold and he called his people out and they followed him. Our unity is not because we congregate together. Our unity is based on the fact that we are listening and that we are hearing, and that we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what unifies us. And that's why Christians all over this world are united because of following Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Not because we look the same or act the same or sing the same, dress the same, but it's because we hear and we follow Jesus. See, most people don't think they need a Savior. And they don't want a Savior. And so they ignore this. But for those who will follow, He leads them to a full life here that is completed there. And practically, what does this mean? It means that we constantly run everything by Him. When we are faced with the decisions, we run it by Him. When we are faced with daily life, we consult Him. We ask Him, and we seek His counsel through prayer and through the reading and studying of His Word. That's how we know how to make decisions in this life. So He guides us, but He also provides for a sheep. He provides food. After the shepherd called his flock out of the pen, He led them out to graze, to green pastures. He provided food for them. Notice in verse 4 that the good shepherd doesn't drive from behind, but He calls and He leads from the front because He's a good shepherd. He provides food, but He also provides protection. While the flock is grazing, the shepherd was constantly watching and guarding against any danger that might come to those sheep. Whatever that danger was, He was watching for that. And the sheep pen is a picture of peace and security that is provided by a caring shepherd. Well, what else does He do? He dies for His sheep, which is the ultimate provision. He is willing. He voluntarily gives His own life for the life of His sheep. Whatever harm might come to those sheep, He will give His life to protect them from it. Why? Because He is the true shepherd. And He has a vested interest in the flock. They are His flock. He's not hired. They're His flock. And He contrasts that with one who is hired, who watches the sheep. Their concern is not for the sheep. Their concern is for themselves, for the paycheck. So if danger comes, that shepherd will run to protect himself. Because he's not interested in the sheep. He's interested in himself. Ever been to a restaurant that's run by the owner as opposed to one that is just run by employees? You can see a difference. Because the employee is in it for a paycheck, for the most part. Certainly not in all cases, but the owner is always going to have a vested interest in that business. And they will see to it that everything is done right. As the good shepherd, Jesus was willing to die for us because He had a vested interest in us. He has a vested interest in us. Not only did He create us, we are here because He created us, but He purchased us. He bought us with His own blood. Now, it would be easy to take this passage as a sweet little story, a little 4-H lesson on sheep and shepherding. But it's much more than that. It's much more. This is a picture of our relationship with God as it ought to be. Our relationship with God as it ought to be. So if you want the peace and security that Psalm 23 talks about, then you have to see Jesus as your shepherd. And if He is the shepherd, if He is your shepherd, that means you're not. Because you can't both be the shepherd. If He is shepherd, you're not. In other words, you must surrender every area of your life to the control of Jesus Christ. Every area. Not just your church area, but your work area, your social area, your family area. Every area of your life has to come under control of the good shepherd. See, you and I will search in all the wrong places for that peace and security that we all long for. We yearn for it. And we'll search for it in all kinds of places. We'll even try to provide it ourselves. But Jesus can't shepherd you if you're trying to be your own shepherd at the same time. So you have to see Jesus as your shepherd. So you know what that means? Obviously, the next step is you have to see yourself as you are, a sheep. Do you see any resemblance there? We have to see ourselves as a sheep, that we are dependent on Him. We hear about wild dogs. We hear about wild cats. We hear about wild hogs, wild horses. But do you ever hear about wild sheep? We don't name football teams after sheep. Go Mighty Sheep. Because, see, sheep can't survive on their own. They're too dependent. And as Christians, we are too. If we would just admit it. There's nothing wrong to admitting to be like a sheep. In fact, it's a worthy name to be called a sheep. The requirement to be in God's flock is to be a sheep. But think about it. Who else would be in a sheep pen but sheep? Are you in the fold? You are if you've trusted Jesus as your good shepherd. You are if you've placed your faith in Him for salvation and for the abundant life that only He can give. Are you in the sheepfold? If you're not, I invite you to be today. Just believe, trust, respond when you hear His voice. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word that teaches us how to be in relationship with You. Lord, we understand that this is upside down from worldly thinking. The world says, be stronger. Yet You say, be like sheep. You want us to depend on You. Lord, would You help us? Help us to come to that place that we trust and that we follow based on the relationship of what You have initiated through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior. And it's in His name that I pray. Amen. 161 just speaks of that. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. So is He leading you? Are you following when you hear that voice? Even in the stillness of those private moments in your own heart, are you surrendering and following as He leads? I invite you to do that. Let's stand together.
Thank you for listening, and if you would like to know how you can follow the Good Shepherd, we would love to talk with you about it. You can find our contact information on our website at fbcamericus.org. And tune in next week as we host Brother Andy Cook and the Experience Israel Now conference.